So just other future programs that we will be having. We have our MYG program tomorrow night, discussing Ramadan during quarantine with Sheikh Shahed Ali. So please join us for that tomorrow night, inshallah. The event will only be available Facebook Live and YouTube Live. So there will be no Zoom meeting for this week's MYG. Also, Sira class will be the last session with Sheikh Shahed. This Sunday will be the last session, inshallah. As well as Dr. Siddiqui's Tafsir will also be continuing every Sunday at noon. If you need any assistance or if you have any questions, ISOC office is open and it will be collecting calls at 714-531-1722 or emailed at office@isocmasjid.org. And don't forget to donate generously at give.isocmasjid.org, inshallah. Whenever you're ready, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum everybody. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala mu'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. In the name of Allah, most graceful, most merciful. I bear witness there is no God worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the prophets and messengers sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon the followers of Muhammad, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all good today here, followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to be gathered with him in day of judgment, and to be gathered with him inshallah, and with our heroes that we've been talking about. Thank you so much for joining our class today, heroes from our Islamic history. Today we have an amazing hero with us too. Also a female, a lady, her name is Asma bint Umais. She is among the first people to accept Islam. Actually, some of the historians of Sira, they consider her to be one of the first female Muslims. She either could be number three, number four, number five, could be, because we know Khadija radiallahu anha, she's the first female. The second female is Fatima radiallahu anha. The third female or the fourth and fifth female, a lot of people, they have different opinions, say it could be Ummu Hanif, could be the cousin of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, could be Maymuna bint al-Harith that became later on the wife of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, could be her sister Umm al-Fadl, the wife of al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, the uncle of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And some people, they say that person was Asma bint Umais radiallahu anha. She accepted Islam as early as possible, maybe a few months after Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received the revelation that she became Muslim before Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam opened the house of Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam to be the place where he teaches the Muslims. Subhanallah, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the first 3 years of Islam, it was a private calling of Islam. Basically, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not asked by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to call everybody publicly and call everyone, but he was only calling the people that are around him. And during that time, many people from his family accepted Islam, and many youth accepted Islam. Among those young people was Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam, who was 16 years old, who owned a house at the masjid of by the Safa right now, a house. And Al-Prophet Muhammad has made that house a school and the masjid for the Muslims at that time, where they gather, they ask questions, they learn about the new revelation. Sure, Asma was among the first people to go to there, to Dar al-Arqam, and learn Islam there, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she was married also to the cousin of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. And then, after 3 years of private calling of Islam, private what you call da'wah, of the period of this private da'wah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out publicly to everybody around him to call on Islam. And he stood in the mountain of Safa and he called everybody to Islam. But the Meccans at that time did not like that. So they start oppressing the Muslims, start to torturing the Muslims. They start the smear campaign against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and against the Muslims. Many Muslims were able to handle that. Many Muslims weren't able to handle that. And we know the famous story of Bilal radiallahu anhu, how the kuffar of Mecca, the Meccans, tortured him. But some of the people who were actually fed up with the torture, with the smearing campaigns, with all the stuff, was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu and his wife Asma. So they went to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking him what to do. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recommended for some of the Sahaba, if they cannot handle the torture and what's going on, to migrate, to go to a land of justice, a land that a king owned it, and he would not do justice to, upon them, and that was the land of Abyssinia. So Ja'far radiallahu anhu and 70 or 80 other companions migrated from Mecca to all the way to Abyssinia. And it wasn't easy to migrate at all, because it's not just an easy route of them. They had to travel from Mecca to Jeddah, which is the port, and then from that they have to take a boat all the way across. They cross the Red Sea, and from that they'll arrive to Abyssinia. So we know the famous story. They arrived in Abyssinia, and the king, who goes by the name of Al-Najashi, welcomed them, and they were fine there in Abyssinia until the Meccan sent Amr ibn al-As to try to bring them back to Mecca. But Ja'far radiallahu anhu, the husband of Asma, he actually stood and he explained Islam to the Abyssinian king, and at that moment the Abyssinian king accepted Islam. So some of the people who migrated, some of the Muslims who migrated from Mecca to Abyssinia stayed for a while, and some of them came actually the next year, came back to Mecca the next year. Among the people who stayed until Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrah from Mecca to Medina is Asma radiallahu anha and her husband Ja'far radiallahu anha. So they went back later on to Medina when they heard the news that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina. And it was a long journey for them to travel from Abyssinia to Jeddah through a boat, and from there to go from Jeddah all the way to Medina was a long journey for them. When they reach to Medina, right away, the first thing that Asma does, she goes to her friend and she asks around, what was the new Quran that was revealed? Can you teach me the new Quran? Her concern was, what did I miss of the Quran? I need to learn the new Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed while I wasn't there. And subhanAllah, she went to visit her old friends. One of her old friends was Hafsa radiallahu anha, the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anha. And it was a very interesting story. So she went to the house of Umar to meet her his daughter Hafsa. And Umar asked, is that Asma, the Abyssinian? Didn't mean the Abyssinian that the one from Abyssinia, but the one who migrated to Abyssinia. And they said, yeah, that was Asma, the Abyssinian, the one who migrated to Abyssinia. Umar said, you missed, guys, the hijrah that we did. You guys didn't do the hijrah that we did from Mecca to Medina. Asma gets so mad, and she's like, no, we also, suffered for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also did a lot for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While you guys had Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with you, we were away, and we were missing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Asma went to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, ya Rasulullah, Umar says that we don't have the reward of this hijrah. We didn't do the hijrah from Mecca to Medina. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you guys did not do one hijrah. You guys did two hijras. You migrated from Mecca to Abyssinia, then you finished my first migration, first hijrah. And also, you migrated from Abyssinia to Medina, and that's your second hijrah. And you have the reward of two hijrah, two migration, while everyone else here has only or had only with the reward of one hijrah. And subhanAllah, she was concerned about not being with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not getting the reward of migrating like everyone else. Then later on, around the 8th year of hijrah, after 8 years of hijrah or 9 years of hijrah, at the Battle of Mu'tah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assigned her husband Ja'far ibn Abi Talib to be one of the leaders of the army, and he was killed in that battle. He died in that battle. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered Asma and her children to give them the news, because he received the news through Jibreel alayhi salam. And he told them, Asma, you know what? Your husband was died as a shaheed in the battle. And he actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that moment started a tradition. He said to the companion, go and cook for the family of Ja'far, because they are in a grief, they're mourning their father, they're mourning Asma, mourning her husband. They cannot cook for themselves, they cannot do anything for themselves. And that became a tradition and a sunnah. Someone dies, that somebody around them, their friends, their families, to cook food, meal for them and send it to them. And subhanAllah, that started at that time. After a few years of the death of, or a year or so after the death of Ja'far radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was very honored to marry Asma radiallahu anha. The Sahaba, they looked at each other and they knew the rankings. They knew that person was early in Islam. This person did two hijrah. This person did that. So the Sahaba actually wanted to marry Asma because of her honor. It's not out of desire, but they're out of, they know her status. They know what she did for Islam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he proposed to Asma bint Umais. And he said, I want to marry you. I want you to be my wife. I want to have the honor for you to be my wife. And she became the wife of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And she stayed married to Abu Bakr until Abu Bakr passed away. And some narration, they say that she is the one who washed the body of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then the Sahaba took him and buried him next to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day, after the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Asma was sitting with one of her friends. And who was one of her friends? Fatima radiallahu anha, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Fatima was so sick, and Fatima thought that she's going to die. So she was telling Asma something. She was telling her, at that time, when somebody dies, they carry their body in a piece of wood. They put it in a piece of wood and they carry the body. Fatima radiallahu anha was so modest and shy. And she told Asma, I don't want them to cover my body with the kafan. And then they take me to the grave. Everybody can see how I look. Everybody can see if I'm tall or short. And she was modest and shy. Asma radiallahu anha said something very interesting. She said, in Abyssinia, when they bury somebody, they put them in a box, like a coffin, like a box, and they carry them so no one can see the body. And Fatima radiallahu anha, she liked the idea a lot. And she said, please Asma, if I die, please do this. And Muslims since that time, because of the idea of Asma radiallahu anha, they start carrying the bodies in a boxes where people don't see the bodies, or they cover the bodies, and then they bury the deceased, subhanAllah. I want to share with you a very interesting hadith narrated by Asma radiallahu anha that has to do a lot with what we go through right now. Asma radiallahu anha once said, and that shows you the relationship he had with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because in this hadith, Asma said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her. She said Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, which means she didn't ask him. That means she was with him. She was always around Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he was with Asma, and he said to Asma, can I teach you something? May I teach you something or a phrase that will help you, or you should say it in a time of difficulty, in a time of disaster, in a time of hardship? What is this thing? It's a dhikr. It's remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not specifically a dua, but it could be a form of dua, but something to remind us when we are in a time of difficulty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. What Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Asma to say, he said Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to her, say when you are in a time of difficulty, when you are in a time of hardship, Allah, Allah, Rabbi, Allah is my Lord, la ushrik bihi shay'a, I don't associate anything or any partner with him. Allah, Allah, Rabbi, la ushrik bihi shay'a, Allah, Allah is my Lord, and I don't associate partners with anybody, with him. I don't associate anybody with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why this dhikr, this remembrance is so important? This remembrance is so important in a time of difficulty. Sometimes we tend to rely on someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a time of difficulty, sometimes we tend to think that there is someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can save us from the problem that we're in. And that's a problem. That could be a shirk, a hidden shirk. That could be like associating someone with Allah or giving certain quality to someone that don't deserve. We are very scared of the coronavirus, and we are so worried about the coronavirus. But when we say this, Allah, Allah is my Lord, and I don't associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can protect us from the virus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is in control of everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no partners in doing what He does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can protect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can protect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the protector. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sustainer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the merciful. And everything happened because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wise and out of His wisdom. So we need to understand this. And this is very important in the things that we go through right now. We cannot just think, you know what, there is some doctor who's going to save us. Of course, we have to take something called asbab, the causes of things. We have to be protected when we leave the houses. We cover our faces with masks because we need to be protected, to wash our hands, to use hand sanitizer when we touch certain things, because that part being protected, because we took the asbab, we took the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for us for protection. At the same time, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is behind everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the protector, you know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is what He said about Himself, قَيُّومُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He is in control of the heavens and the earth, and of control of everything that's around us. And that's today the shortest story of our dear hero, Asma radiallahu anha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us in the day of judgment with Asma, and with all of our heroes that we talked about, and the ones that we're going to talk about, inshallah, later on. And inshallah, I'm going to end, inshallah, with this short dua. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأزواجنا ولذرياتنا ولأهلينا ولأصحابنا ولطلبتنا ولمعلمينا ولمن أوصانا واستوصانا بدعاء الخير ولمن له حق علينا. اللهم ارفع عنا البلاء يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. اصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من المرض والجنون والجذام وسيء الأسقام. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من سيء الأسقام. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من سيء الأسقام. اللهم احفظنا، اللهم احفظنا، اللهم احفظنا. اللهم اشف مرضانا، اللهم اشف مرضانا، اللهم اشف مرضانا، وارحم موتانا، وارحم اللهم موتانا، وارحم اللهم موتانا، وارفع البلاء عنا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خير، and we'll see you inshallah next week on Tuesday. السلام عليكم.